first to Thailand, where for the fourth day, protesters are out in the streets of Bangkok vowing to topple the government. Today, they forced the evacuation of the government's top crime agency. Joining us from Bangkok is Jonathan Head of the BBC. And Jonathan, this is a new protest, but in a way, it's a continuation of the protests that ousted the former prime minister Thaksin Shinawat back in 2006, right?
Yes, and sometimes it's difficult to separate all the different protest movements that have various times have occupied the streets of Bangkok. These are people who are dedicated to wipe the influence of Thaksin Shinawat out of Thai politics. And the protests first started against him at the time he was in office. He was then the most powerful prime minister Thailand had ever known, the most successful vote winner. You wouldn't have thought he could have been ousted. Well, protests started against him over his alleged corruption back at the very end of 2005. And in the meantime, we've had all sorts of events. We had a military coup that forced him from power in 2006. Then his party came back a year or so later. Then it was forced out by the courts. Now we have, for the third time, a variation of Mr. Thaksin's party in power. They keep winning elections, but they keep on facing these diehard protesters, most of them middle-class Bangkokians and people from the south of Thailand who are very loyal to the opposition Democrats, but a fair swathe of people. There are more than 100,000 over the weekend who just believe that Mr. Thaksin and his allies have far too much control over the country and that parliamentary democracy doesn't work when they're in power. And I have to say they're very passionate, they're very dedicated, they've been out for the whole of this week. So you hear a lot of them saying, you know, we just want a completely new system because if Mr. Thaksin's allies keep winning elections, there's no point in them.
Well, and allies, his sister is the prime minister now, right?
That's right, yes. And many of the people who supported him right back at the time of his peak of his power more than a decade ago are back in office again. It's just Mr. Thaksin himself who is still out of the country. He was convicted on a fairly minor abuse of power, sort of corruption charge, back in 2008. It's a charge he always complained was politically motivated, but he's stayed out of the country since then because he doesn't want to go to prison. But he still wields immense influence over his party. His sister takes advice from him. He's a very rich man. His funding is very important for the party, too. So it's that influence that has really aroused the anger of these protesters. It's hard to explain to people just what an immensely divisive figure he is. He's passionately loved in poorer parts of the north and northeast of Thailand, where he really helped rural people with his policies. He's the first modern prime minister who used modern campaigning methods to get right through to ordinary people. But in the city here in Bangkok and in other parts of Thailand, they just regard him as toxic. And so that polarization has never been healed. And the fact that he has so much influence over the current government has really riled these protesters, and they've got a fair bit of momentum at the moment.
Jonathan, why is there this bitter divide in Thailand, especially over the last decade, but even going back, there have been 18 coups or coup attempts since 1932. Why can't the opposition on either side accept it when their party is not in power?
I think for a long time, Thailand, frankly, wasn't a democracy at all. They have a revered king, a monarch at the apex of the political system. He's supposed to be above politics. But, you know, you had all these coups because you had an unstable sort of army factions wanting power and a business elite that were happy to go on making money. These problems really stem from the last 20 years when Thailand has been emerging as a more modern democracy. The country is much wealthier than it used to be. It's grown very fast in the last 40 years. There's a big middle class and they've aspired to a better democracy. And these are the people we see at the protests now. They believe the country should be much cleaner, more efficient. But the reality is the political culture is still pretty feudal. And when it comes down to it, a lot of money is thrown around, a lot of dirty deals are done. It's not very transparent. The rule of law doesn't work well here. As we've seen with the protests, the police hardly function at all. And so the reality of how power is exercised is pretty messy. Now, Mr. Thaksin promised to fix all that. He was much more efficient and effective than his predecessors. His governments lasted longer, but he still threw a lot of money around. There were still lots of allegations of corruption. And these middle-class Thais, who are a much bigger chunk of the population than they used to be, dream of a much better government, but they just don't know how to get it. And that's why you hear so many of them at these protests now saying, They're against Mr. Thaksin, but they also don't like the other leaders they've had. They want something much better. And to be honest, it's why they've kind of lost faith in democracy, because they say they've been trying it for the last two decades and it's never delivered them a clean or respectable government.
And you mentioned the king. What about him? This is a guy who is very highly regarded in Thailand. You can't even insult him. Thai people get so upset about it. Has he weighed in on this?
No, and he's very old and very frail. I'm not sure, to be honest, he'd be capable of it now. This is the great unspoken issue in Thailand. The reverence for the king is very, very intense. It's been built up over years. He's performed his role as a constitutional monarch with great skill, but there's also been an immense propaganda effort to lift his image up to almost godlike status in Thailand. And the fact is, the laws are so severe, nobody can even question that role. I mean, it's not the king himself who imposes those laws. It's become part of Thai culture, really. But the fact is, I think behind all of the political turmoil we're seeing is the realization that a monarch who the Thais believe has brought them good fortune, he's been virtuous, but most of all, they believe, and there are those who challenge this, but they believe he's brought them stability. You know, he's nearing the end of his life. It can only be a matter of years. And, you know, he's 86 years old now, and none of the possible successors enjoy anything like the same levels of respect. And I think that's a profoundly disturbing, unsettling feeling for many Thais. They won't talk about it. You cannot talk to Thais about the king possibly dying. These are just, for them, unacceptable topics of conversation. But they know it's a reality. And I suspect a lot of the distress and uncertainty and anger we're seeing directed at Mr. Thaksin is also related to a profound sense of insecurity about the future of the monarchy.
The BBC's Jonathan Head joining us from Bangkok, Thailand. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Thank you.